So let's start with just kind of the philosophy behind what we're seeing in this new exhibition here. You were saying to me earlier that this is kind of part of a, for lack of a better term, reinvention of the way you're looking at things here at Hagley.
Yes, Hagley has just come through a new strategic plan with a new mission, and that is to inspire all people to be innovative in their own lives through investigation and exploration of our collections, our historic powder yards, and our online resources. Hagley has the largest private collection of United States patent models, and these were things that were required by the U.S. Patent Office from 1790 to 1880 as part of the patent application, and they're these three-dimensional objects that literally are the history of invention in the United States. And so we thought, what a great way to inspire people to be innovative, and that is to actually learn about the history of invention through these models.
And it seemed, just kind of walking through the exhibition, that this was a pretty fertile time for innovation and invention. Is that part of what makes this work so well with Hagley, is that this was a particularly interesting period of time that kind of leads to some of the things you're talking about, that kind of is really a great example of some of the things that you're talking about kind of writ large?
Yes, and the United States was really founded on the principles of invention. Article 1, Section 8, actually in the United States Constitution, actually provides protections for inventions. It's the scientific and useful arts. And so when you think about it, the way that our country was founded was understanding that in order to spur invention, we had to provide intellectual property protections. And so the whole history of the United States has been about IP protection. And so taking that to the next step, what we thought was really important to do was to tease out the stories of the men and the women who actually probably are not well known, but who really were what founded this country.
And you're kind of uniquely positioned to do that because, as you mentioned, you have this rather large collection of these patent models to begin with. First, just tell us a little bit about how Hagley came to be in possession of so many of these patent models.
Well, as you know, Hagley is the birthplace of the DuPont Company. So we have a 240-acre site that shows the science, technology, engineering, and math history of the Brandywine Valley and the DuPont Company. So when the museum was founded in the late 1960s and 1970s, we started looking to get more information about the history of DuPont. And so we started looking for the patents that the DuPont family held. And we came across patent models. I mean, we had never heard of them before. And in the 1970s, we ended up getting a collection of about 850 patent models. And that was the beginning of it. We became familiar with the collector, Alan Rothschild, who lived in Casanova, New York, and he donated to Hagley a number of Delaware patent models. So we were able to really show the history of invention from a very personal standpoint, the history of Delaware. And then in 2015, we ended up acquiring Alan's collection of 40 some odd hundred, so 4,000, maybe 4,200 from him. So right now we're close to 5,000 of these. Our collection is second in size only to that of the Smithsonian, which of course is a public collection.
I guess having that many is pretty impressive just because, you know, through history, a lot of this stuff was kind of lost to history, correct?
It was. You know, the United States government started selling off the patent models in the early part of the 20th century. They just didn't want to store them anymore. And so they went to various collectors. So to find a collection this size was pretty amazing. And so we're just thrilled to be able to have these. And many of these will be on permanent display, but we have what we're calling the Museum of Models, which was very reminiscent to the way that the Patent Office used to showcase them. So we'll be able to change them out and swap them out. And so it'll be a way to encourage people to come back time after time to constantly seeing something new.
And let's just tell people a little bit about patent models, just so they kind of get an idea. I think a lot of people might think of, oh, it's a model. It's probably, you know, bare bones, basic, just kind of like a mock-up of what the invention was supposed to do. But just walking through, I mean, these are pretty elaborate versions of these invention ideas. Talk a little bit about what people can really glean from these kind of models.
Well, what was interesting is because the patent models were a requirement, it actually, a cottage industry grew up in the United States of model makers. And these were some of the finest craftsmen that we had in this country. Many of them were German immigrants, people who knew how to make beautiful scale reproductions of things. So they're made out of wood and leather and different metals, brass, and they're beautiful. They're made to actually be a scale model of the invention, but often they're embellished with things that make them beautiful.
Can you talk a little bit about maybe some of the examples people will see when they walk through this initial iteration of the exhibit?
Well, one of the most interesting is we have on loan for us a Thomas Edison patent model. And obviously, Thomas Edison is probably one of the most famous inventors in our country and certainly one of the most prolific. So we think that will bring people in who may not really understand what else they're going to be seeing. And we do have some other famous inventors, Bissell and Corliss and Westinghouse, but the vast majority of the people who were inventing are not well known. And so what you come here, you begin to see the history of the United States start to unfold through the types of inventions that were being done, because it was a two-way street. Things were happening in the country. For instance, in the aftermath of the Civil War, so many of our soldiers lost limbs. And so what you see upstairs in the exhibit is the progression of prosthetics and the development of the prosthetic so that it was more comfortable and it was more articulated. That brought inventors into the marketplace. And so it's the stories of what was going on in our country that you'll see when you come to Nation of Inventors.
And another one that might be familiar to people that I was kind of fascinated when I walked through was food preservation was a big deal. The mason jar is something you're featuring here as well. And that's something that we still see people use even today.
Well, it's interesting. Mr. Mason was born in New Jersey, in South Jersey. And of course, what was grown in South Jersey? Well, lots of vegetables. And people like to put their vegetables up. Well, the way that vegetables used to be preserved was very much in keeping with the French method of preserving wine, which was a lid put on or a cork put in that was then had like lead or a different type of metal to keep it in place. But it often oxygen got into the what was being preserved, and of course it was ruined. So Mr. Mason, actually, it was not the jar itself that he invented, it was the lid. And so he actually has 7 patents for different lids. And so it's absolutely fascinating to see what he went through based on what was happening where he was living, which was wanting to preserve his fruits and vegetables.
Is there anything that stood out to you as one of those, what were they thinking with this? Or why didn't this catch on more?
Well, you know, actually the vast majority are like that because most of the patent models here were things that were not commercial successes. And so when you go in there, you'll see a corpse preserver. You'll see different medical devices that you wonder, how did this ever get patented? There's one that is like a fake ski slope. You know, so there's some that are whimsical. I know that our museum director, his favorite is the improvements in duck hunting boats. And, you know, it's one of these things that maybe you would see it on the Chesapeake, but instead of having ducks on it, it actually has swans on it. So it makes us scratch our heads and it makes us laugh. But I think more than anything, you kind of put yourself into what was that inventor thinking about when they were doing this? Because they were not doing it to be funny. They really thought that this would potentially have an application and potentially make them some money.
So we talked at the beginning a little bit about how this is kind of helping kind of the reimagining and reinventing of Hagley. Can you talk a little bit about how you see this kind of entry point to Hagley connecting with the rest of what people find on the grounds and how you see perhaps this giving people an opportunity to maybe look at Hagley in a different way?
Certainly. I mean, when people think about DuPont, you know, this is a company that's still in business. They incorporated in 1802 here at Hagley. And one of the first early patents that made a huge difference in this country and is actually held up as one of the most important early patents was granted to E.I. DuPont in 1804. And it was to improvements in graining mills. And that's one of the steps in the production of black powder. And so it shows how innovative the company was in their approach to making the product, but also in their approach to how they treated their workers. And I think DuPont has always been very paternalistic in that. And so what we hope happens is as people go through Nation of Inventors, and in the back there's a section on DuPont, they begin to appreciate just what people in the 19th century were facing. I mean, they did not have the technology that we have today. So much of what they had to rely on was based on water power. It was based on ingredients that came from half the world away that had to be brought in by ship. It took a long time. So there were quite a few things that the DuPont family and the DuPont company faced that we no longer face. And they managed to not just survive, but they managed to innovate and to prosper. And so looking at Nation of Inventors and then going out on the property, I think will give people a whole new appreciation for the DuPont family and the DuPont company.
Are there any things you expect to do as this opens next month in terms of special events surrounding this, or I guess even kind of looking out into the future? You know, are there things you have in mind already about how you can expand out from this specific exhibit?
Absolutely. We are going to be doing programming. The next step is really starting to build up the programming. You know, meet the scientist, meet the inventor. I hope to partner with other local places like Nemours, you know, places that have even prosthetic labs where we can bring the stories from the 19th century up to current day. You know, one of the things that I had purchased, believe it or not, on eBay is one of those cheetah legs that the Paralympians use. So we bought it not as part of the collection, but as something that people can look at and touch and begin to make that connection between, okay, these are things that were innovated on in the 19th century, but you know what? We're still innovating. And so we want to demystify this so that people realize that invention and innovation are things that each of us can practice in our own lives.
Timing is also an interesting thing. I mean, this is something you're launching now as we're starting, hopefully, to come out of this pandemic. How important is this kind of reimagining now to kind of reconnect with people and bring people back, not just to kind of see Hagley differently, but also just to kind of get back to going to places like Hagley and kind of exploring the world around them?
Oh, we all know that there's so much pent-up demand for people to be able to get out. And the nice thing about Hagley is we know we have 235, 240 acres that people can actually walk on. So we've got such a beautiful outdoor setting for walking, for hiking. But we also have these great indoor spaces that, as it's safe to go back indoors, you can see Nation of Inventors beginning in mid-September. But you can also go into our 1880s machine shop. You can see the black powder demonstrations. You can see how powder was made. You can go up to the DuPont Mansion. And one of the neat things that we're doing, we're doing these things called Invention in Action. So we're highlighting something that's in the exhibit. But then when you go out and you go up to the DuPont residence, you can see things up there. Oh, or you can go up to our steam engine exhibit. Oh, I saw that back in Nation of Inventors. So you begin to apply how these inventions were actually used in the workplace.
Jill, we appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Tom. And please, we just encourage everyone to come. Nation of Inventors opens on Monday, September 13th, and we just encourage everyone to come out and visit us.